students are going to go ahead and leave just here in a second. I got home about middle of the week this last week, and I had a little box in my mailbox, a little box, and I opened it up, and this is what was inside. I think it's a guilt offering, to be honest. I think somebody wrote this to you, and whoever sent this to me, I just want to let you know one thing. A mug is really not going to do it, okay? Had it been a bumper sticker on a new car, we could talk. But this will give you maybe a week or two. But if you're feeling guilty today, that's on you, because I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. How many of you have heard about Financial Peace University? Or how many of you have gone through it or done it? A lot of us have done this. My wife and I did this almost 10 years ago. And it really changed the way that we thought about money and the way that we did things. And we've had many of you asking, when can we do this? When can we do this? And we have an answer for you. We are going to do that in our spring fall group cycle beginning on February 23rd. There's some signups at the welcome booth. There's some signups. April will be out there as well. Whenever I do our marriage group, this is one of the things that we spend a night talking about, money. Because guess what? One of the top three things why marriages end is because people fight about money. Haley and I have done this for about 10 years, maybe not perfectly, but we've done kind of 90, 95% of it. We have more control over our money. We seem to have more of it, and we're more generous at the same time. I'm not quite sure how that works, but this is a wonderful thing for you to be a part of, and you can sign up after the services in the back there. But today we're starting a new series called Start with Sabbath, and we're going to talk about this ancient principle. I've never preached on this before. In your bulletin, you might have seen that there are some verses for the Bibles that if you want to look up, if you want to get there, we're going to be in the book of Exodus, which is the second book of the Bible, and then we'll be in the book of Numbers, which is just a couple of books later. But today we're going to talk about what I call origins. Where did all these things of Sabbath come from? Now, before I do that, I don't want you to feel like I'm preaching Sabbath at you, because the first person that I'm talking about Sabbath with is myself. And I want to tell you why. So this is going to be a confessional series, and I'm going to share some of these stories. When I was in elementary school, I wasn't a particularly great student. I wasn't awful, but I wasn't amazing. I was kind of right in the middle. And I didn't really learn the same way that other people learned. And so even though, I guess, for these, you know, IQ tests, they said I should be achieving a lot more, I was always just in the middle. And that was true even of sports. I have an older sister who was an incredible athlete. My wife was an incredible athlete. I was always on the B team. Okay, and that's where I worked. That was fine with me. I didn't mind. The expectations were sort of halfway between being awesome and being bad. I could live there all day long. My grades were okay. They got a little bit better as I grew up. I was able to barely get into university, if we're just being honest. And I studied, you know, business and accounting and marketing and all these fun things. But I had no passion for them. And guess what happened? I was very much just in the middle. And I was wrestling with the call of God in my life. And over the course of a number of those years, I finally submitted and said, no, this is what I'm meant to do. This is what I really am passionate about. And I kind of changed my track, and I started heading that way. Something amazing happened. My grades got better the more that I studied. The higher that I went, the better that my grades were. Every year was better than the year before. And it absolutely amazed me, because this was not a place that I was used to or even comfortable with. That I was always mediocre, and now I was finding some great things in the midst of that. And I was working at churches, and I was studying, and I was kind of falling in love with what I was doing, and it was all coming together. But I had a few bad experiences. I don't know if you know this, but people can be quite mean. I remember there was a weekend that I was out of town, and some of the people in the church that I was pastoring at the time or helping with were in the hospital. And they gave me the third degree when I got back. We pay you to be here, and you weren't. I think that was a bit, you know, inconsiderate, and it probably wasn't very realistic. And as I grew up, you know, as I grew in ministry a little bit more, I sort of took those things in stride. But there was a profound day that happened to me probably 7, 8 years ago now, where there was somebody who was very unhealthy in their own life. But they sat me down, and they were in a role of leadership at the church, and they said, "We don't really know what you're doing. We think you are lazy." And that wounded me very deeply. It was a shaming response, and you've had those in your life too, that I really felt that I could never take Sabbath. I was fearful that if somebody saw me at Walmart on a Friday, which is when we have our days off because I work on Sundays, our week starts then. We have Friday and Saturday. That's what our staff takes. That if somebody saw me at Walmart at lunch on Friday, they'd say, "Why are you not working?" Now, let me be clear. I'm not lazy. I know I'm not lazy. You don't have to come up to me and go, we don't think you're lazy. I know I'm not lazy. But it's a wound that I have. And even though cognitively I understand that that was wrong and that was really kind of evil, I still have a hard time with it. That's why I struggle to take Sabbath. This is why Haley and I, even early in our marriage, we had to have conversations about how many nights of the week I could be out, because I would be out 7 nights a week if that's what it required, because I was committed to this. And I had to learn slowly that I need to take times of Sabbath. But the reason why I don't is because I'm wounded in that area. And you probably have your own wounds as well. And we all bring those to the table when we talk about this. But let's start simply. Let's say, what is Sabbath? And this is where we're going to go to the book of Exodus. This is when God really tells us what Sabbath is. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 8, God says these words to Moses, or to the people. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, meaning keeping it separate from the other 6 days. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, neither your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. The Bible says this is a day of rest, refreshment, and worship, which is why maybe on Sunday that's part of your day. You come and you worship. You don't have to lead it, but you just get to be a part of it. And maybe you go home and you take a nap on Sundays. Or maybe you have a family lunch and you're refreshed and you're kind of restarting for the new week that is ahead of you. I heard somebody say this recently, which I thought was incredibly accurate. It said, all people worship, but what we worship is our choice. Every single one of us has a heart that worships something. Now, you can worship something positive, or you can worship something negative. All of us are passionate about something and invest our time and our lives in that. Now, hopefully that passion is God, but sometimes we worship a lot of other things. Now, the one thing that's interesting about the Old Testament is that the Sabbath is a command. God doesn't say, hey, if you feel like it or if you want to do it, he says, this is what you need to do. In fact, the Sabbath is so important that it makes God's top 10 list. When God takes the people of Israel out of Egypt and leads them into the desert to the base of Mount Sinai and shares the 10 commandments with them, he is forming and forging them into his people. He's saying, here is how you are the people of God. These are the things that you need to do. I found this list of the 10 commandments with emojis, and I know everybody knows emojis, which I actually thought was quite cute, to be honest, even though I get emojis from some of you that do not match what you are saying. So really just work on your emoji language there. But let's look at the 10 commandments, okay? We all know them. But look at the top three, right? God first. Second one, don't make any idols. Third one, don't use the name of God in vain. That doesn't mean speech. That means do not call the things of God yours, and do not call your things the things of God. Call those things, you know, you have one God, and you need to keep it. You need to give your attention and your worship towards him. You don't need to go around and serving other things or creating these little idols, which we all struggle with in our lives. And we must always give credit to God for what he is doing. Interesting, the second part of it, the last six commandments are about people. Honor your father and mother. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not lie. You know, don't covet what other people have. These last six commandments are about how we live in community with other people. What does it take for me to be a valuable member of the community? And I don't need to do these things. I need to act a certain way when I'm around you or when I'm around people. But commandment number four, take a day of rest, take a Sabbath, keep it holy. Do you notice its placement? It's right between how we relate to God and how we relate to people. Because maybe what that says is when we are in the presence of God, we need to take a minute before we turn ourselves towards people. When we are in the presence of God, we need a moment of rest to kind of get our minds around it so that we can move forward. The Sabbath is a bridge command or a hinge command. It's very well placed right there at number four between the relationship with God and the relationship with people. Now, I know what a lot of people are going to say. Well, the Ten Commandments are Old Testament law. Ten Commandments are not for us today. They're for the past. and you're partially true. But the reality is, the other question is this: which one of these commandments should we break? Is it okay to steal and lie now? Can I cheat on my wife and it be okay? Can I kind of put God in one box and put everything else in another? Is that all okay? And every one of us in the room will say, no, we have to do these things. These are still the way that we relate to people and the way that we relate to God. Yet we find ourselves often in violation of the fourth commandment. We often violate Sabbath. It's something that we do. I do it. You probably do it as well. And I'm going to tell us why we do it as well. But how do we violate Sabbath? We violate it through a number of things, sometimes through sleep or through food or through work. You know, 100 years ago, there was a study done that said people slept an average of 9 to 11 hours per night. Okay? They would go to sleep when the sun goes down, and they would wake up when the sun gets up. And even on the shortest days, that's about 9 hours. Okay? Have you ever, what do we say is a full night's sleep now? We say a full night's sleep is eight hours, right? You say nine? 8 hours, okay? Women generally need a little bit, probably an hour more than men. Don't know why, just the way God made you, okay? 8 hours is what we're supposed to sleep every night. You ever heard people, I only need 4 hours of sleep a night, okay? You know my response to that person? You're not healthy. Because your body needs rest. Have you noticed we lived in a world where everything is convenient, especially in regard to food? We have these things called fast food. We go and we get something, and oftentimes we're needing these high calories, these fatty foods, because we haven't had enough rest and sleep, and we've got to boost our bodies so that we can do something. Have you ever heard anybody, I am getting fast food so that I can start resting quicker? It's not what happens. You cannot rest after fast food, okay? You need a bathroom close. Just the way it is. But we supplement our lives. We don't sit around the table and eat. We're constantly multitasking. We're watching TV while we eat, or we're doing other things. We're all guilty of this. Or even work. 100 years ago, people worked 25 to 30 hours. It was a full work week. Now a minimum full-time work week is 40 hours. And that's just the start. We overextend that. We do more than we should. But what happens in our lives when we ignore the Sabbath? What happens when we don't take those moments back to rest? Listen to what God tells the Israelites a little bit later. This is Exodus 31. So let me just get there quickly. In Exodus 31, God is going to reiterate what he has said within the Ten Commandments. Beginning in verse 12, it says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. This will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so they may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy.'" Isn't it amazing that Sabbath is a sign of who God is and how we are separated as his people? "Observe the Sabbath," verse 14, "because it is holy to you. Anyone who desecrates it will be put to death. Those who do any work on that day must be cut off from their people. For 6 days work is to be done, but the seventh day is a day of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day is to be put to death. The Israelites are to observe the Sabbath, celebrating it for generations to come as a lasting covenant. It will be a sign between me and the Israelites forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed." Now, if we go forward a little bit, there's a little story in the book of Numbers. And I'm going to tell you ahead of time, it's a really harsh story. But in Numbers 15, it tells us this little story. It says, "While the Israelites were in the wilderness, a man was found gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood," he's picking up sticks. "Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and the whole assembly. And they kept him in custody because it was not clear what they should do with him. And then the Lord said to Moses, 'This man must die. The whole assembly must stone him outside the camp.' So the assembly took him outside the camp and stoned him to death as the Lord had commanded Moses." Now, that seems really harsh. And you think, well, God, he's just picking up sticks. I mean, this seems like a huge punishment for something that seems fairly benign. But there's something else that's going on in the story, okay? This man is exhibiting what we call a slave mentality. In other words, his mind is still in Egypt. You see, slaves don't get a Sabbath day of rest. And one of God's gifts to his people is, here is a day, one day a week, that you get to be rested and refreshed and to worship. You know, slaves don't get days off. Slaves don't get vacations. Slaves don't get bonuses. Slaves work 7 days a week. What this man is doing by his behavior is he is walking out and he sees an opportunity where nobody else is doing this. And so he starts to gather for himself so that he will have more, which is slave mentality. I've got to be better than the person next to me, and then I'm going to be okay. And that's why God says, listen, he is still living in Egypt. He can never be a part of our nation if he does not trust in me. See, what he's doing is fearful. He's gathering it so that he will have enough because he's scared he won't. Instead of trusting God to say, he will provide enough for you. They take him outside of the city. He's outside of the camp. They stone him. Now, I know what you're going to say. But Sheldon, you pick up sticks on the Sabbath. And I'll say, yes, I do. And I'll say, you do too. And we need to help each other to not live into that fear mentality, but to live into the story of faith in God. Sabbath is a big deal. It's a big deal for God, for us, but it's important to our lives. It matters that we take time off and we take time away. And we've got to start thinking, instead of the Ten Commandments, like God gave us these harsh laws, we've got to realize that Sabbath is a gift, not a punishment. God is saying, I'm giving you a day off, which means I've got to be working. I've got to do for you. I'm asking you to trust me. That means I'm going to have to do something about that trust. I think the reason is God can never give us something if we're trying to get it by ourselves. If I'm trying to work hard to get it, God says there's nothing for me to do. But when I release that, God is able to say, hey, you're trusting me. Now let me give you what you need. What happens in our lives when we ignore the Sabbath? Well, our relationships with God, our relationships with people start to fracture and break. The Sabbath's right in the middle, and it's slowly when we start violating that, it's not hard to start violating the ones next to it. We become physically, emotionally, spiritually fatigued and weak. Our lives get off balance. We start treating people badly. You ever find that when you don't spend enough time with God, you start treating people badly? When you haven't had enough time for yourself, enough time to renew this, we start to struggle with that. And today I want us to hear that Sabbath is God's gift. It is not God's punishment of us. I hear people say all the time, I wish I could get away. I wish I could just take a day off. God says you can. Because when we actually seek Sabbath, we start to seek God because we're living into faith and not into fear. So I want to give us some starting points today. We're going to start kind of right from here. It doesn't matter how much any of us has violated this in the past, of which I am probably the worst offender. But start slow. Look, I can't Sabbath on Sundays because I work on Sundays. My Sabbath day is usually a Friday. That means that I rest and, you know, I do stuff that I want to do and I get done with all the chores that I'm supposed to get done around the house and all that kind of stuff. But I take some time to just do things for me. So if I don't respond to your text or your email on that day, it's not because I don't like you. It's because I'm trying hard to get myself right with God and to take a moment of rest. It doesn't have to be on a Saturday, because sometimes that's a day where we do things together. But finding ways to do Sabbath. In our house, we do things a little differently. I get kind of a whole day off. Haley doesn't quite get that. So sometimes after dinner, we'll cook, we'll have dinner, we'll chat at the table, we'll spend some time, and then she'll go and lay on the couch and nap for an hour. She's not punished for doing that, because that's just a way for her to let the day kind of coil off her and find a moment of rest. And sometimes we just need a minute. And then we try to create, you know, other venues where one of us can rest. And maybe as a couple, you've got to sit down and say, hey, we need to talk about my Sabbath, and you're going to try to protect mine the same way that I'm going to try to protect yours. And we're not going to punish each other because you're taking a moment of rest. We're going to actually feel empowered that you're attending to God and that you're doing what God is asking you to do so that you can be a better person in this family or in the workplace or wherever else it might be. We have to find moments of rest. And unfortunately, we just violate this because we start believing the lies that the world tells us. That if you're not busy, you're not productive. I remember Abraham, I think it was Abraham Lincoln, who made a statement that said, if you ask a man to cut down a tree in 6 hours, he should spend the first 4 sharpening the axe. That there's a rhythm to this. what we do in our lives, we just pick up the axe and start hacking away, and we're not well prepared for what's coming. And then we're not successful because we're not living into the rhythms that God has shared with us. I hope this just gives us a place to begin. And as we talk about this in the next few weeks, that you will find that this is one of God's greatest gifts to us. When we receive it with both hands, we start living into faith and we let go of fear. I'm ready to let go of fear. I want to live into faith. And I hope you do too. Father, this morning, just thank you for meeting us in this place. Even though we are imperfect and we struggle, God, we just thank you for just the opportunity we have to bring our lives to you and lay them down. And God, I pray that we would feel conviction, not just for bad behavior, but that we feel conviction to want to be better followers of yours and to trust you more, to not live with this burden of fear, but to take hold of faith with both hands. Father, thank you for just the opportunity we have to have an opportunity and a venue to worship, to share together. I just pray that you would just walk with us through this, that you would correct our behaviors, and that you would help us to find you in the midst of it. We thank you for all your gifts, God, from Sabbath all the way through to your Son, Jesus. And Father, may we just live more closely into who you're calling us to be. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus.